Well,
with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the Experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable, NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football, it's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Hey folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years and have found a great home here at TrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, TrendBetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Oh, yeah, folks, it's that time, Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. It's Thursday, it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on, obviously, the East Coast from the TrendBetting.com studios coming to you live. Welcome, folks, to the show. It's what we love to do, and it's a lot of fun doing it. You know we have two shows. The one on Monday recaps the weekend, but Thursday night definitely is a great primetime slot to get you moving forward there. It's going to be a lot of fun doing the show on Thursday nights because you're going to have college football, pro football game. We might bump the show up an hour just to give you a little bit more time. And, of course, because most of those games are going to be kicking off around 8 o'clock, you certainly don't want to be on the radio and listening to a show when you got a big primetime matchup going in college football and also in NFL pro football. But that's something we can certainly take a look at down the line. A lot of stuff has been going on lately in Major League Baseball and also in professional football. And I do want to take a second to go over the week that Donnie Wrightside has been having there. Folks, since Sunday, after we took our first loss of the day on Sunday, when that first game was over, we have ripped off 7 straight winners in Major League Baseball, 100% documented. It's been a great run. It's been a fun run. Now, we're going to go over also a little bit later in the show some of the reasons on why we changed up a few of our strategies with the baseball season as it closes down in August and September. The key being there is a lot of things change, so being a handicapper and a professional, you have to learn to adapt with the industry of what's happening. Teams are no longer in position to say, you know what, put your best foot forward, let's get after this thing, let's make the playoffs. After the All-Star game, it takes a little bit of a turn. After the trading deadline, it takes a major turn. Now teams out there are looking at two things. One, can we get to the playoffs and win the World Series? And number two, We don't give a damn about this season. Let's see if we can set up next season and maybe find out if we have a couple players down in our minor league system and a couple young guys to see where they stand, pitching, bullpen, closers, hitters, utility guys, you name it. So now it's what we like to call in the betting terms the haves and the have-nots. Now also what you're seeing with that is a reflection in line movement in Las Vegas. And what I mean by that is teams, again, you've heard me say it over the past 2 to 3 shows, betting value is in the eye of the beholder. Most of these teams that really have to have it, a la the New York Mets, are going to be priced when they have everybody on the mound except for Fatolo Colon over 200. No question about it. These teams need to win each and every night versus a team like the Colorado Rockies, who's dead in the water and on the road and could care less. It's a team now, the Colorado Rockies, I'm just using this series as an example, where the Mets just pulverize this team. The Rockies, that heavy hitting lineup, no longer can even get base hits, it seems like, was shut out 2 straight days. Syndergaard took the mound today, gave up 3 runs quick, but they shut the door, and I believe the final ended up something 12-3. I don't know, maybe they tacked on a couple runs late, but last I checked was the 7th or 8th inning, and it was 12-3. That's a team that doesn't give a damn about the rest of the baseball season. So when they're on the road, they are roadkill, and that's what's going to take place. You like to see that lineup, even when they're full go now. They traded Tulowitzki over, and now they have Jose Reyes at shortstop. The flag is already up. That's a me team right now. Let me get mine. And what I mean by this, let me get a home run here. Let me swing for the fence. Let me just see if I can steal a couple bases here. Hopefully I don't get hurt this year. I'm in a contract year. I got to worry about me. It's no longer about the team. It's no longer about making the postseason. That's what you have to be leery of in Major League Baseball heading down the stretch. So again, when I say terms of values in the eye of the beholder, it's what you're willing to pay for the better team is what you're going to end up getting. A lot of the times now, teams that are out of the playoffs, it doesn't even matter if their ace is on the mound. They're going to be devalued for the simple fact is they don't care if they win or lose. There's baseball teams now that are all in and going for it. Look at Toronto. They are smashing teams left and right. Like Sonny Gray, I question even right now, Sonny Gray even had a back flare-up with his back spasms. I think he caught wind of what was about to take place again today, and he didn't want any part of it. Hey, get in there. Jesse Chavez, get in there, man. You handle this. You know, I'm good. Maybe my next series is against the Tampa Bay Rays or something like that. I'm good. I don't want anything to do up here in the Rogers Center and being in this Homer Dome. Because Toronto is making that move versus the New York Yankees, and monster series are coming up. Now, what you're going to see me deviate from is usually, you know, you like to bet that baseball game. That's a good one. Take a look at tonight. You had the Pirates and the Cardinals, two teams, I mean, just butting heads right now. Now, kind of interesting that the Pirates are blasting them, because I had that game pretty much as a coin flip, maybe even you lean towards the home team in these certain instances there. Another team tonight is the Yankees. They have to win tonight versus Trevor Bauer. Bauer has been so up and down. There used to be a lot of value on him, especially last year and earlier in this year, because you didn't really know what you're going to get. As soon as you put together 4 or 5 straight starts, you lost all value on Bauer. But coming into the day, you know, Eovaldi is no Nolan Ryan on the mound. He seems to be doing very well versus that Indians offense that seems to have woken up after trading just about everybody on the team but Brantley. But once again, heading into that, looking at games coming down the line, I'm going to stay away, for the most part, of games with two really, really good baseball teams. Because the value to me now heading down the stretch is really taking care of and looking at a mismatch. Let's take a look at that road team in baseball that already knows they're out of it, does not care if they win, and is on the road. Because that team, and taking them full game, as you know me, I mean, you might as well have called me Donnie First Five over the first, you know, May, June, July, and the beginning of August, almost a good 4 months of nothing but first five plays. We did sneak in 4 over-unders there, which they all won over the first 5 innings, but we're going to start to deviate from that process, because the value of the first 5 now is, I used to like to take it where you weren't taking the run line if you had a favorite, meaning minus a half of a run, because if you push that game, you know, no harm, no foul, but if you're taking the run line and you push the game, you're going to end up taking that loss. But now with most of these pitchers, when you're throwing a hammer out there, a la Matt Harvey, you can't really take a money line over the first five because you're looking at staring at 220, 230, 240, 250, and maybe even a little bit higher than that, depending on what team they're playing. So if you take the run line there, you have to be up after five innings. And if you're not, you're going to take the loss. And even with playing that run line at minus a half, value's really not in there as well because you're still going to pay minus 150 and you have to win the first five innings, which we've shifted into a different mode of using a run line over the full game. So when you take a metric there that one team has to win that game or the other team doesn't care, the team that has to win the game has the better starting pitcher on the mound. The team that has to win the game overall has a stronger lineup on the field. And also the team that has the better bullpen that must win, backed up by the better lineup. That gives you multiple chances to win, and a lot of the times these teams are going to be favored, you know, 180, 190, 200. That's what's going to factor in as you've seen us shift away from going with a money line play over the first five innings to shifting on the run line of minus one. I get a lot of questions each day on Twitter and also on Facebook, and people just ask me, say, hey, why the minus one? Why not just go ahead and get the minus one and a half? In the last three games that we had with the minus one run line, they all won. They all also would have won the run line of minus one and a half because they're all multiple or double-digit win, not double-digit, more than the one and a half would be, 4-0 wins. Actually, it was back-to-back 4-0 wins and then a 9-6 win by Tampa Bay last night. They all would have won. But when you're banking on a team that just has to win, just take them to win. There's no harm, no foul. If they end up winning the game 4-3, you just push the line and you move on because the risk and the reward is not worth taking that money line. Yes, I do think they're going to win. But, you know, as we always talked about before, Houston over the past couple of years, one of the worst teams you're ever going to see in baseball history, they're still going to end up with around 60 wins. So those teams that are, you know, laying minus 200, minus 220, minus 240, if you drop one of those games, it's almost like you got to win, you know, three games to get back that money if you laid 260 on there, you know? I mean, it's just, or, you know, I mean, obviously you're going to be the plus money after three, but two games really isn't even going to make it back because you're going to be laying that much wood on those games. So you have to be sharp in what you're looking at, take the value the way you see it, and apply it accordingly to the games that are coming up. So again, through the months of August and September, we're going to be really eyeing up those matchups that we're going to be able to get value in a game, a minus one line, you know, 160 or below, because a lot of these teams that are going for it are loaded up lineups, and you can catch some of these other teams sleeping and putting a bad lineup out there with a younger pitcher and a bullpen where you're just looking to see who's going to get out there and who's going to throw some pitches. Some of those teams that fall in the mean, I would say, you know, fall into the mean, meaning, you know, somewhere in that, yeah, we might make the playoffs, we might make a run, is those Tampa Bay Rays. Some team that is a couple games over 500, are they in it? Yes. Are they really in it? Not really, but they're still going to play well. Atlanta is out of it, which is why we took Odorizzi at home yesterday, and he ends up giving up three two-out runs in the first inning. But the good part about that is you don't have it in the first five. Had we had it in the first five, we would have taken a loss. We took it full game because we're banking on a better bullpen with Tampa Bay, a better starter, which didn't work out, and a young, rookie, inexperienced pitcher that was on the mound for Atlanta. Worked out in our favor. They knocked Whistler around. They got three runs off him. Should have had much more than that. But you could see that title wave avalanche coming on because in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings, even though they were down 6-3, every single batter was making solid contact. And finally, in the bottom of the seventh, the Rays just put it all together and put six runs on the board to take a lead from down 6-3 up to 9-6. So looking towards those values, keep in mind with baseball now, take the better team with the better bullpen, with the better lineup, and preferably at home, depending on the situation. I know a lot of guys, you know, when you get an ace on the mound, doesn't really matter most of the time where they're at, but the comfort level is much, much higher at home because you've been there, done that dozens and dozens of times as opposed to a few times there on the road. Your backdrop is the same, the height of the mound. I know the height of the mound obviously is the same in every ballpark. It's supposed to be like that because, you know, it's like shooting at a 10-foot hoop, but just the feel of the mound, maybe the landing spot, maybe the dirt, humidity in the air. It's just everything that you're used to and comfortable with. You have that good sight line behind home plate. You know, you're walking into the same dugout. You have your same seat in the dugout. Everything for the home pitcher, you know, they tend to be superstitious and quirky, usually works out in their favor. So, again, betting in baseball season, we're going to be taking a lot more value from teams that have to win and have to get into the playoffs. Now, again, getting back to what we've done over the past couple days, we took tonight off. And, again, this all gets back to a gambling lifestyle philosophy. If a game is not there that you love, the numbers make sense. You put the time in, you put the work in, and you're ready to go. If it's not there, don't put any money on the line. I have a lot of clients, family, and friends that ask me, hey, man, yeah, no plays tonight, no plays that you even like. How about this game or how about that game? I tell them, look, if I just like the game, I'm better off, A, not playing it, or B, just playing the opposite side. Because if I don't like it enough to put my money on the game or my client's money on the game, it doesn't make sense to play the game. It's not what this industry is about. Some people give you 24 plays a night. You know, sometimes I look on monitors and I see, you know, if you look at my stats over the past 3 days, I'm 3-0 plus 15 units. Everything is a flat wager, no parlays, no chase systems, nothing like that. Put your best foot forward, keep the even amount, win more games than you lose. It's going to turn out to be a very good investment over the long term. But I see guys with 50 plays over the last 3 days. I mean, I don't understand the point of the monitor is you want to run up a high unit total and maybe use it as a hype machine. But it doesn't make sense. Like, are your players betting $1 per game? I mean, what is your bankroll if you're going to give them 13, 14, or 15 plays? Which, again, comes down to the philosophy of football season as well when you hear me preach about that 401k approach. We're really not going to have more than 5 total plays on an entire week in football. Just because a Monday night football game is on doesn't mean I'm wagering on the game. I love football. I can sit back in my seat, any team on there, even if you sat me in front of the Cleveland Browns versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can watch that game and I can get enjoyment out of that football game. Just because the game is on doesn't mean you have to bet it. Pick and choose your spots. Getting back to tonight again, we are on a red hot streak, 7-0, over 30 units of profit over the past 7 days. Over 30 units. I mean, this is a lot of fun. And this is what we do, and this is why we do it. But tonight, there wasn't anything that we really liked. And if there's nothing that you like, pick up your wallet, put it back in your pocket, sit back, have a cigar like I like to do, maybe a cocktail, and look at tomorrow's games, which is exactly what we're doing today. If there's not a game out there to play, don't force play that. Take it as a 401k plan. Take it as an investment. Gambling is a lifestyle. Make it a lifelong lifestyle. Don't look at it as you have to bet every day. Look at it as, hey, there's games to bet, and take it season by season, year to year, decade by decade. You don't have to blow through your bankroll. You don't have to double your bankroll in one night. Put that best game out there, let it ride, and that's what we do. Now, every once in a while, there's room for us to fire. Sunday. Picked up 15 units of profit. We bet 5 games on Sunday. It's typically betting a game or two a day. The reason we did that is because the numbers are right. When the numbers are right, we are going to fire. When the numbers are not right, we're not going to max press. We're not going to force the issue. And we're not just going to sit back and say, boy, got a lot of clients out there. They need plays tonight. I have to give them one. That's not what we're here for. We're here to win you money as the client. And, of course, I want to win money. The more packages I sell, the more picks I sell, the more money I make. But that's not the point. I don't look at it and say, boy, I need to have a big sales day. I hope 20 people buy my package. I'm going to put out a big game tonight. Don't miss out on this game. Buy it tonight. You're definitely going to win. Everybody does that. That's a fly-by-night gimmick. So what if they lose? They burn and churn, keep it moving, change their name online, cancel their monitor, and just move on. That's not what we're about. You're about teaching and preaching the right way and how to win long-term and show you how to win long-term and show you what those tendencies will be and how we can all profit from it. Again, folks, why we're here tonight. Just want to go over it. How do you get my plays? Trendbetting.com is exactly the site that you need. If you have not been to the website yet, log on to trendbetting.com and click on the experts tab. Everything is right in front of your eyes, everything for what you need to bet smart, long-term, and invest. I say it all the time each and every week. Lance is the owner of the site, the CEO. I met Lance 3 years ago, and we came up with a vision of how we wanted to approach the gambling scene and how we wanted to change the gambling scene. And that's winning with integrity and also losing with integrity. There's no point, case in point, in me telling you I was 7-0 if you can't track it, or if somebody calls you a fraud or a liar and they don't see it monitored and they don't see it with other clients getting those plays. There's no point in it. So my 7-0 streak is only as good as the monitor and my clients tell me it is, because how would you feel if I went out there and said I was 14-0 over the past 4 to 5 days, but you only got 7 of those 14 plays, and you tweeted me and you sent it on Facebook, a direct message, and I just said, yeah, that's my other package, you know. I have rights at valueplays.com and trendbetting.com. Those 14 plays ended up on my other website. The shell game is a real thing out there, and you have to watch out for it. That's why the people, myself included, at trendbetting.com, we're going to set the tone for doing it the right way in the industry and doing it with integrity. The lineup is very strong. Lucky Lance Williams, owner, site, CEO. Myself, Donnie Wrightside. CJ the Razor. Alex DAK 47, MMAJ. Travis the Hitman Terry. The Saffinator, Frank Buzz. And also Payoff with Perks, which is Brian Perks, our NASCAR associate. Everything on that website, NCAA basketball, football, hockey, mixed martial arts, tennis, soccer, NFL, baseball, whatever you need, there's something and a certain capper that will be able to attend to your needs and build your bankroll the right way. So if you haven't done so, again, folks, click on trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab. Team, staff, fleet of services ready and waiting. Prices are always cheap and affordable. So again, if you haven't done so, check us out at trendbetting.com, and we'll certainly be able to put you on more right sides than not. Folks, this is Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. We are going to take one quick break, and I want to come back on the other side. We'll talk a little bit more baseball, but also want to start getting into football season, because if you're watching right now, live, the New England Patriots just punched one in to make it 7-3 over Green Bay. Whew, hope a lot of you people didn't bet that game, because I'm going to scold you in just a few minutes. Hold on, folks. This is Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. folks. Welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Just wanted to go over with the show, folks, what we're about and why we're here. You know, just a simple welcome to the show. I know we're about halfway through it, but just to recap on what we like here, it's the Sky Sports Talk Radio. NCAA, NFL, fantasy football, college basketball, Major League Baseball. That's what I'm about. That's what Donnie Wrightside loves to do. Eventually down the line, we have some big things here on the show, on Long Shots Radio. We want to make it more interactive. We want to definitely take phone calls, you know, Twitter, anything that we can do to improve the show and get constant feedback with our clients, friends, and just fans out there. Key things, you know, what goes on during the week, future impact, upcoming matchups, gambling tips. You know, this is what we're about here. It's what we look forward to, why the line is moving, public versus Vegas, which we're really going to get going on once football season is, because if that line is off, we are going to exploit it, and we're going to tell you why it's off, and we're going to tell you where that money is going. So football season is going to be very big at trendbetting.com and also on Long Shots as well. About myself, I've been a pro for over 20 years gambling, online for over 3 years with my website, rightsidevalueplays.com, and also my fantastic home at trendbetting.com. Talked about it before on the commercial break there, the 401k approach. Less is more. Less is always more. Case in point tonight again, folks, we are on a red-hot 7-0 streak, and I have nothing in action tonight. Absolutely nothing. Because you know why? It wasn't worth betting on. We're going to keep it moving and start it back up on Friday and blast away at your bookie again. But again, if tomorrow presents itself and there's nothing to wager on, folks, we won't. But I got a good feeling tomorrow with a full slate of games, we're going to be able to pick apart some mismatches, no question at all. If you see me on Twitter, folks, follow me at RightsideVP. Also have a promotional account at Donnie Wrightside. That'll keep you abreast on everything that I'm doing, plays, picks, everything that's out there. That's definitely in another Twitter spot to follow me. If you check me out on Facebook, check me out at Wrightside. Excuse me, on Facebook, it's Donnie Wrightside. And if you want to reach out, just talk baseball, basketball, football, anything. I'm a big hockey fan. I don't gamble on hockey. I don't cap hockey, but I am a very, very big hockey fan. So anything that you want to reach out and let us know, we'll certainly be able to do that for you. But again, we are on a brilliant 7-0 run, bet all flat at 5 units. That's giving you over 30 units of profit, roughly around 35 or so. So once again, it's really been a lot of fun. So jump on board, but grab a package there, trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab, go down to Donnie Wrightside, click on packages there, and that is exactly where you can find me. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. I do want to talk some NFL football, which is what we're going to do right now. There is a slate of games that are on tonight. I believe there are 6 games on. The only game I have on right now in the background as we're doing the show here in the studio is the New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. Looks like it sits at 8-3. Interesting in this one there is it broke late that Tom Brady would be starting and playing for the Patriots. So it's always nice to see Aaron Rodgers and Brady go out. Go after it there. Brady didn't do too much there, but Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense, man, it looks really good. I don't know who's going to stop that team this year. I mean, they are absolutely loaded. The defense, I mean, as long as they can hold up and the offense does stay somewhat healthy, I don't know how you stop Aaron Rodgers. You couldn't stop him last year. The only way you stopped him was just some miracle, ridiculous nonsense in Seattle. Otherwise, you're probably looking at the Green Bay Packers winning the title last year, no question about it. Let's just take a look at a team-by-team preview here. And we'll start in the AFC just to get a feel for some of these teams and some of the moves they have made. And obviously going in alphabetical order there, no prediction order or anything like that. Baltimore Ravens last year finished up at 10-6, obviously being in the NFC North. Same head coach, they haven't made any changes there. They do have a new offensive coordinator with Mark Trestman, so that's probably going to open up the passing game and certainly see what happens. Joe Flacco, obviously a good quarterback there. Is he elite? That's always been the industry term over the past 5 years. I mean, I pretty much say he would be. You get a Super Bowl title under your belt, you're making over $100 million on your contract. I would say you're probably elite. Justin Forsett with a great breakout year last year at the running back position. Wide up Steve Smith, as you saw the past couple of days, he's going to retire at the end of the year. Their first-round draft pick, Rashad Perryman. Big physical wide out there. Third wide out there is Marlon Brown, Kamir Aiken. I mean, they got a couple, you know, nickel and dimers there, obviously. But overall, they look to have a decent year. I mean, that defense is always stout. They're coached really well. You know, where they're going to end up in that division, They're certainly going to be making some waves there, but that's not really what we want to do now, is make predictions. We're going to go over that on next week's show, of exactly where we think these teams will set up in line, and certainly as the rest of the summer goes on. Buffalo Bills, one of those teams definitely to watch out for, was really, really impressed with the all-season changes they made. I think Rex Ryan is going to fit in pretty well there, depending on certain parameters there at quarterback. If they can get any quarterback play, I mean, E.J. Manuel, Tyrod Taylor, I mean, it is what it is. They blew that draft pick on E.J. Manuel. Matt Castle, they're almost looking at it as like that New England equation when Castle was able to come in, move the football, and based by a steady defense and not making turnover and just making smart plays, maybe they were able to make something out of it. And, you know, hey, there's something to be said about that. LeSean McCoy is going to get 790 carries this year. I know I'm being facetious with that, but he's going to get a ton of work. There's nothing behind him. Fred Jackson, just an old man, basically, and he's already beat up with a hamstring injury in preseason football. Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, Robert Woods, nice trio. They spent a lot of money on Charles Clay. I think they overspent for Charles Clay, but it's definitely an upgrade there, and that's going to help the offense out a lot because that team is built on defense. Rex Ryan will get after people. He has the players to get after people. So that's going to be one of those teams that you definitely want to keep an eye on this year. Moving over to the Cincinnati Bengals, you know what you get out of them every year. Seems like they're going to get in the playoffs, and they ain't going to win a damn thing. And that's because their head coach is not built to win, and that's because their quarterback does not play well under pressure in the playoffs. Andy Dalton just has – I mean, they paid him a lot of money. He is what he is. He's going to get to the quarterback and go 14 for 29. One touchdown and two interceptions, maybe even worse. I mean, you've seen it over the years. Jeremy Hill, I think, is a fantastic emerging running back, a great compliment to Giovanni Bernard, no question about it. If you look at the wide receivers, you know, Marvin Jones, Denarius Moore, I think Denarius Moore is a very good pickup for them. He's going to be a low-end type wideout, but it all starts and ends with A.J. Green. Coming off an injury-plagued year where he still was able to put up over 1,000 yards, I think he's going to be a monster this year. So I think that Cincinnati team is going to be very good again. But again, it's going to come down to the playoffs, and I just don't think they can get it done. Until they show me that they can get it done, I'm just really not going to believe it. Cleveland Browns, what are they going to be doing? Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw. That just means you don't even have a quarterback again, and this league is a quarterback league. Looking at Duke Johnson, I like to pick as a running back there. But Mike Pettine last year just was playing musical chairs at the backs, Crowell, West. I mean, nobody knows who's a starter. Nobody knows any defined role. Duke Johnson's already banged up in camp. Dwayne Bowe, I mean, can the guy even run a 40 and under 5 anymore? Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, they're okay. They're going to come with some defense, no question about it. But that's a tough division for them every single year. They're going to be battling the Pittsburghs of the world, the Baltimore Ravens of the world. It's going to be a tough, tough go for them. So, I mean, I don't look for much, maybe a step up in games won and being competitive, but I think it's a lot more of the same because, again, with you in the Cincinnati Bengals, not division again, to me, you're in last place, and that's where you're going to stay until you can find a quarterback. Moving over to the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, fantastic quarterback in September, midway through October. I just think years and years wear and tear and that neck injury on that arm is going to show up again. If we looked last year at some of those games, once he got into late November and December, the wind got, you know, wind is howling. It's a lot colder. The ball's not traveling. And once that wind gets up there, he's in a lot of trouble. And the offenses should be able to move the ball and put up a ton of points. Again, it's going to be based on Peyton Manning and his health. C.J. Anderson, Monty Ball, Ronnie Hillman's a great combo. Demaryius Thomas, one of my favorite wideouts in the league. Emmanuel Sanders, a fantastic compliment. Young receiver there, Cody Lattimore. They're going to win a lot of games, but can they win late and when it's cold? I just don't know if they can do it. Houston Texans already suffered a massive injury with Arian Foster. It seems like he goes down every year, but I did thoroughly enjoy Hard Knocks the other night. Thought it was a, you know, I'm not a big Bill O'Brien fan, but he's certainly starting to win me over with the way he is treating his players. And, of course, the truck driver mouth goes a long way with me. DeAndre Hopkins looks like an emerging wide out there. Not really too sure how they're going to end up on the year, Houston, but definitely a team that should be on the come as long as they can stay healthy, get some play out of Jadeveon Clowney and some quarterback play. They could be able to make a little bit of waves there. One of the best offenses that's going to be put together in the league this year is your Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck, you don't have to go over anymore. Frank Gore is the perfect complement to that offense. And that wide receiving and tight end core is absolutely loaded. Loaded. If you look at T.Y. Hilton just getting that big deal, you have a stalwart in Andre Johnson. Dante Moncrief last year really came on, and you got a burner in the first round out of Miami in Philip Dorsett. that team is going to move the football. Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, tight end. Again, that team is going to move the football. I'm not even so sure if they even have to play defense, because that offense is going to put so much pressure on the other team that if they can just pin their ears back and get after it, they might be able to win a lot of football games. I think they're going to run away. Again, I didn't want to do predictions, but I think they're going to run away with that division and set themselves up nicely with a bye week in the playoffs, and hopefully they can avoid the New England Patriots, because that is their kryptonite in the playoffs. And also, obviously, in the regular season, I bet the Colts last year versus the Patriots, and that wasn't the best play, because Jonas Gray, whatever you want to call it, a damn guy, ran for over 200 yards and just dominated that football game. Jacksonville's going to be Jacksonville. Maybe they're on the come there with Gus Bradley. Maybe they put that defense together. A lot of people like Blake Bortles. I'm not that high on Bortles. You know, T.J. Yeldon, decent draft pick, is going to give him a little bit more thunder there to go with Toby Gerhart. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, Ace Sanders. I'm looking at a preview real quick here. Ace Sanders might have got just booted off that team altogether. So, I mean, I don't really have too high hopes on Jacksonville. Bortles, I think they're going to take this year to hopefully see if Blake Bortles can be their quarterback of the future, and that's all the step that they're going to be looking for. Kansas City Chiefs, Alex Smith, he's going to throw the ball 3 or 4 yards, maybe get him over 5 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver all last year. That tells you what type of quarterback he is. Doesn't take chances and has a pop gun for an arm. But when you're backed up with a nice offensive line with Jamal Charles and Niall Davis, DeAnthony Thomas looks like he's having a good camp as well. Nice addition, though, of Jeremy Maclin, which gives you at least a threat to go deep and a presence there on the outside. Jason Avant, don't know how he's still in the league. And, again, he's one of those guys, along with Dwayne Bowe. I don't think he can run under a 5.04. Travis Kelce, nice little tight end there. Kansas City is going to be in the mix. Next team I'm going to look at there is the Miami Dolphins. They are on a little bit of a come here. Ryan Tannehill looks to take that next step. I like the pick. I love Lamar Miller. Jay Ajayi was a nice pick there, but it looks like he has more knee issues than they had originally thought. They have a couple backup running backs there. I like the addition of Kenny Stills. Devontae Parker is one of my favorite wideouts in college football out of Louisville last year. Hopefully he can get right and healthy. I know he had a banged-up foot that they operated on. Jarvis Landry, also decent. Rashad Matthews, Ron Board, I mean, just, you know, average type of guys. And that 3 and 4 type wide out there. Jordan Cameron, nice pickup of tight end if he can get rid of those concussion and injury issues. So the Miami Dolphins, certainly a team to look out for. The New England Patriots, hey, they go as Tom Brady goes. If he doesn't have a 4-game suspension, let's just say that suspension is vacated, you could take a look, honestly, that the Patriots might win the AFC East again when it looks like he was going to get suspended 4 games. They possibly could have been, you know, 1-3 or 0-4 opening the season. The way that schedule played out, I do think they beat Jacksonville, so they'll probably be 1-3. But if he plays all 4 games, you know, bets off the table. They might be 4-0 and rolling once again. You know what they have. I mean, obviously, LeGarrette Blount's going to be mashing the ball. Got a great coach in Bill Belichick, one of the best tight ends in football, maybe all time, Rob Gronkowski, and a decent receiving core with some nice little weapons. I mean, Amendola's on his way out, basically, but you still do have Julian Edelman there, as well as Brandon LaFell, and, of course, the aforementioned Rob Gronkowski. New York Jets, who just got their quarterback dropped on his head with a broken jaw in 2 spots. I don't think they're going to be much of a factor whatsoever in the AFC race. The defense is very good. I even like the addition there that they added a wideout to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, Devere Posey. It's a nice 4 set, but that set doesn't mean anything if you don't have a quarterback that can throw him the football. Some people liked Geno Smith going out, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in. Come on, folks. Guy's a career loser. I mean, at least Geno Smith was showing you something that has a decent arm. You know, he wasn't coached by the best offensive coaches the past couple years. Maybe this year would have been a little bit different as Shane Gailey came in, get him a little bit more of a presence. And Todd Bowles, obviously being a defensive coach in the same mindset of Rex Ryan, they're going to bring a lot of heat, and that's a very, very good defense. The one thing that is a shame is that they do lose Muhammad Wilkerson, and they might even lose him for the year with all the knucklehead stuff. I know he had a suspension already coming in, and then gets caught driving like 150 miles an hour with weed and a gun in the car and a kid. So, I mean, that's not going to work out too well. I wouldn't anticipate him coming back anytime soon. Oakland Raiders, just what they are, they're going to be the Oakland Raiders. The only thing that they can look forward to, similar to the Jacksonville Jaguars, is if they can continue to develop their quarterback, David Carr. I like the kid. He's a gunslinger. I liked him all the way back to his days in college. Thought he could really throw the football, had a quick release, had good pocket presence, and certainly a good mentality. but they really don't have much. They're running back, you know, Latavius Murray. All right, so he had one game on a Thursday night against Kansas City in the rain where he ran wild. Congratulations. I don't really know if that's going to transfer a turnover. They went really, really hard after DeMarco Murray. The Cowboys lost out to the Philadelphia Eagles on that because they were trying to shore up that backfield spot. Marcel Reese, I love him. Great fullback there. Amari Cooper, great pick at wide out. If Crabtree can stay healthy along with Rob Street and Andre Holmes, might give him some weapons that they can develop. Michael Rivera, I do like him at tight end. A big, lanky, athletic kid. So he has some weapons to work with. But again, the Raiders are going to be the Raiders. How are they going to do against San Diego? San Diego is going to be better than them. How are they going to do against the Chiefs? Chiefs are better than them. How are you going to do against the Broncos? Broncos are better than them. That's a last-place team. Develop your quarterback, get some draft picks, maybe get some free agents, and you can certainly keep moving on. Pittsburgh Steelers, very interesting team. Le'Veon Bell suspended. I believe he's back down to 2 games. I think they had him at 3 or 4, and he's back to a 2-game suspension from what I believe from the last time I checked there. But he's obviously, if not the best back in football, a top 3 back in football. Got the stalwart Ben Roethlisberger back there. Wide out Antonio Brown. Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown is a sensational combo, and there's going to be no stopping that this year again. Look for 110-plus catches if he stays healthy, another double-digit touchdown year, and 1,300 to 1,500 yards in the air. No question about it. The kid can certainly play. You have Martavius Bryant and also Marcus Wheaton, the wide out, and the young boy, Sammy Coates, out of Auburn. So he does have some weapons to work with, but can they replace Dick LeBeau on defense? And that aging defense, you know, the Polamalus of the world, all those guys. I mean, it's a wrap. I mean, that was yesteryear. So can they reestablish themselves as the Steel Curtain, bring a nice defensive front there? I mean, it's a lot yet to be seen. San Diego Chargers, I like them this year. I do. I really do. You know, you have Philip Rivers, just that steady quarterback there. Love the draft pick of Melvin Gordon in the first round to match up with Oliver and Woodhead. You got Keenan Allen, a very good young wideout. Malcolm Floyd, big wideout on the outside. Stevie Johnson, the veteran. You got a couple nickel and dimers, again, like Jacoby Jones on the outside. Antonio Gates, Ladarius Green. If Gates can stay healthy and they can preserve him, limit his snaps, he can still be effective. But again, I do like that team. Like their first round draft pick with Melvin Gordon. And love Denzel Perryman out of Miami in the second round. So I think they did very, very well in the draft. And also taking a look at the last team that we're going to preview tonight is the Tennessee Titans. Again, one of those teams out there that the only singular goal of that team is to develop the quarterback. They're not going anywhere. They were 2-14 last year. They didn't really improve themselves whatsoever. They got Marcus Mariota in the draft, second round pick, which is kind of a risk, which is Doriel Green Beckham. Very, very good wideout. If the kid didn't have any problems, he would be a top 5 type of wide receiver in that same mold as A.J. Green with that nice speed, power, hands. But we'll see how he turns out there. Hopefully, he can get his situation turned around. Ken Wisenhunt, good offensive coach in the NFL, but he's certainly going to be on the hot seat this year, no question about it. Bishop Sankey, David Cobb as the backfield mates. Two young guys. I mean, they can make it happen. Remember last year in Minnesota, we bet them quite a bit based on that ground control of David Cobb. I mean, the kid can really, really play football. I'm certainly going to be rooting for him, no question. No questions asked coming up. Kendall Wright, Justin Hunter, Doriel Green Beckham, Harry Douglas, Akeem Nix. A little bit of weapons there, but again, it all sits on Marcus Mariota's arm. If the kid can come in and play and establish himself as a true NFL quarterback and not a system-type guy like he was in Oregon, which would have been a great fit for the Eagles and Chip Kelly, but they saw a lot more in him that they wanted to hold on to him, no question about it. Well, folks, this has been a fun show. 45 minutes goes by really, really fast. We're going to be back on the air on Monday at noon reviewing the weekend. Now, very important there, again, we are on a 7-0 run, up over 30 units of pure profit during that run. Join the team today, trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab, go right to Donnie, right side, click on that. If you bet NASCAR, MMA, tennis, soccer, Major League Baseball, whatever you want, it's open and it's in play at trendbetting.com. Once again, folks, we will see you on Monday for Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball edition, which is going to be shifting over to football all the time pretty soon. But once again, show folks, it's been a great show. It's been a lot of fun to do. Check me out at RightSideDP on Twitter. Be more than happy to go over any games that you have or any questions that you have doing anything that we have. Take care. We'll see you on the Monday. And once again, folks, we'll see you on the right side.